want to see everyone, you can switch to gallery view. You should have the speaker view.
I have something called meeting controls, but I don't even know if I, you know, I'm not gonna. If you see the screen and you can see me, I'm happy. And so I don't. Okay. I'm a newbie at this, and I don't want to mess something up. So we'll just take it from there. Okay. So tonight's sheer and learning should be b'schut refu shleima for everyone who is suffering from this magefa, this terrible magefa, and it should be ilu nishmat those that have passed away. Said it's a very interesting topic. We all wish that it could have been just maybe theoretical, but we're all hearing stories how much this question is coming to the fore. So I think the overall structure of tonight's learning is going to be on the very first page. We're going to see some an article that came out in the New York Times. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. It was from the on the bioethics department of University of Pennsylvania. So we're going to sum up a little bit of secular ethics and how they address the question of two people competing for one ventilator. Of course, that we're just going to do that very quickly because tonight is a chabura, and we're going to go into the to the Jewish sources what they say about. The topic. We're going to really almost deal sometimes with a question of, we're going to see how important, I'm going to throw around terms like chayisha versus, the main question is going to be, let's say, I'll frame it like we have two patients in front of us, and one person has like an 80% chance of recovery if we get them on the vent. The other one only has maybe a 20%. You know, chance at recovery. So we're actually going to see both the secular ethics and even halacha would say that the person with the 80% chance of recovery is going to get priority for the vent. We are going to, though, spend a lot of time trying to understand why that in halacha is true. Because really in halacha, saving someone even with, for chayisha means, you know, just a short time is in, you know, we can violate Shabbos to save people, you know, just for, you know, a shorter time. We'll see sources that you can't, if you actively hastened the death of anybody, even though they were, you know, already just all they had was Chayisha, but you only had a few more hours to live, but you actively, hastened their, you know, their death. That's a capital offense. You're chayev misa, just like you would kill a 20-year-old. So if all that is true, and in all these realms, you know, a chayisha, someone who just, you know, doesn't have that, you know, large of a chance to live versus, you know, a chaye olam, someone who has a very good chance of recovering and living for over a year, we treat the chayisha, you know, just like the chaye olam, why in this case are we giving preference to the chayi olam over the chayi shah? So that's, and we're going to give three reasons for maybe why that's the case. And then we're going to talk about, okay, let's say you have two people. We know that someone has an 80% chance of recovery, someone has a 20, we're going to give preference to the 80. But what happens if now you have two people who are 80%, you know, chance of recovery in front of you? So we're going to see secular ethics in terms of, you know, of treating people equally, might go straight to a lottery. Here in halacha, we have a source of a mishnah in Horios that says, you know, that we're going to take maybe the value of what the person can do for the klal into account, and that person would have priority. Sometimes when I was thinking about it, you know, we very much like the lottery idea because we said if we start evaluating people, a person's worth for the klal, you know, you start, it's ripe for abuse. But I remember those B movies when there's going to be some sort of, you know, meteor are coming to the, you know, that's going to hit the Earth and is going to wipe out civilization. And then they have governments knew about this and they have a spaceship starting a new colony on Mars, or somehow that meteor is going to, you know, cause the tides to rise and flood out everyone. And the government set up an ark, and each one they can save a couple of thousand people that are going to start the whole civilization again. And all those movies, you know, they gave preference to, you know, to the world-class botanist over, you know, someone who just had like some entry-level skills. So what, you know, what these movies, and I think what society maybe can tolerate on the macro level, they had a harder time, you know, tolerating on the micro level. But Halacha did set up some of this priority of a list in Harios, which said that we should take the what the person's value for the klal into consideration. Rav Moshe is going to say it's very, very hard to do, and then he is going to then go to a lottery. So, true. But then we're going to end off this learning with a tshuva of Rav Schechter, and who really expands, because we know, like I said, if we have a person who is only Chai Shua, he's in the intensive care unit, he's intubated, but he's, you know, he's not doing so well, but we're trying, but we're not sure. He's, you know, he's not dead. And of course, if you went overhead and you killed him, we said if you killed, did something to shorten his life, you know, that's a capital offense in Halacha. So we're not, he can't do anything to, you know, to shorten his life. The, I'm trying to remember what I was saying. And that's all true. And Rav Schechter says that's all true. But he's going to expand. And the only time we take Chai Shah, what we take Chai Olam, it builds out Chai Shah, is when the two people are right in front of you. It's a case of triage, and you only have that last ventilator bed. So if you have, of course, there's not two people in front of you, and you have the ventilator, and you know it's a normal times. You give the person to the Chai Shah. The only time that we're saying Chai Olam is going to beat out Chai Shah, again, is only when you have that last resource available, that last ventilator, and the two people. So then we're going to give priority to the Chai Olam over the Chai Shah. And again, we're going to see Rav Schechter is going to say it's not only how he's going to expand that idea of the two people being in front of you. He's going to give situations where they're not really physically in front of you, but in a case like a pandemic, where you know people are coming, you have the person only has the 80, you know, the 20% chance of survival. He's not so good. He's the one that's in front of you physically. Rav Schechter is going to say, okay, but we know in the next few, you know, hours, they're coming through the door every single hour. There's going to be someone with a better prognosis. He's going to say, even though the person's not there yet, we can consider them that they're there and not put the person with the poor prognosis on the vent and save it for the person. We can, because that's what we would do when the both are there, you know, physically in front of us. That would be the halacha. So we'll even do it even when that person is not in front of us. He's going to enlarge it. And then he's going to enlarge it to even, someone's going to have to mute their mic. Someone mute their mic. Okay. Then the he's going to extend it to, unbelievably, and to two other cases. He's not only going to say, look, when the person's coming an hour, you know, later, and we can hold it for that guy. Let's say you did put the person who only had a poor prognosis, you know, you put someone on, and then the prognosis looks, they're not doing well, and they only have a 20% survival rate, right? But what we wanted to do is maybe now possibly add a new treatment for this person. Maybe start a little dialysis, maybe get a little fluid out of the lung, maybe then we could do an antiviral, and then maybe we can make this guy do, but again, we don't really think that most people are not doing well with this, and he still only has a 20, you know, percent chance of making it. But when it comes now to adding a new treatment versus we now have someone who has a, you know, a very good chance of survival waiting in the wings, he's now even going to put that into the category of going bevas achas, and they're coming together, and then you're going to still have that chai olam of this new one waiting in the wings versus the chai shah. And amazingly, Rav Schechter is going to say, don't start the new treatment in this situation. And he's going to go even further, and then we even said, of course, like we said, I'm giving you the punchline even at the end, because again, so people can walk away with, you know, some of this framework, and then we're going to go into the limud. But then he's going to even say that that right now they have someone on a ventilator, and what they're doing now is splitting a ventilator for two people, even splitting it, I heard, maximally maybe even to four people. And he's talking to the intensivists, have asked, and the pulmonologists have asked Rav Schachter, and they say, we know that you can't do, we have a chayisha on the vent or something, we can't shorten the chayisha's life, we can't pull out the ventilator tube, shorten his life, and give it to the chayei olam that's waiting in the wings. We're not, that's an ethical, you know, secular ethics might say that's okay. We think that's an act of murder. We can't do this. We can't do anything actively to shorten the person's life, even though he's not doing well. So the ICU docs and the pulmonologist told Rav Schachter, when we put these other patients on, they're, you probably lessen the person on the vent's chance of recovery by about 15%. And so can I do that? Can I do that? And still Rav Schachter said, even though now it's like 2 days later and they want to add, you know, that fourth person to the, you know, to the system, and it's gonna lower the people who's on it, the chances, he's saying, since that was the understanding of how medicine now treats people. The four people came together, you know, all at once, and they were all mere physically lefanecha. I'm going to treat all four people and put them on there and split this vent. I'm going to do that. So even 2 days later, 3 days later, I can still put that other person on, and it's not considered, you know, a problem of dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh and elements of ritzicha and shortening that person's life. But this is how medicine was going to be done when they're all in front of you physically, so it can be done even a few days later. So again, I already went to the end, because if people can follow the some of the criteria that we're going to talk, that would be great. But again, at least the bottom line that I think halacha deals with, that the person with the 80% chance of survival versus a 20, the 80% is gonna win out. Chai Olam is gonna win out over the Chai Sha. Again, we're gonna spend a lot of time trying to come up maybe with three reasons, and we're gonna spend most of our time on that first reason, and the second and third we can do a little quicker, but reasons why that's so. Even though Chai Sha usually is so important, and we can be Michal Shabbos for Chai Sha, and shortening a Chai Sha's life is ritzicha and is terrible, in this one situation, when they're both in front of you and you have to triage, the Chai Olam is going to take precedence, and we're going to try to talk about, you know, that. Again, if you had two people with an 80% chance of survival, who's gonna get? Who's gonna win out? So then we have a Mishnah in Horios that's gonna say, that the person who gives the most towards society is gonna win out. Rav Moshe says that's not, you know, always so practical. So we're gonna go to a lottery. And then we talked about these other two situations of where, normally if a chayisha comes in, we're gonna treat the chayisha. But since in a case of a pandemic, we know these people are with better chances are coming through, we're going to actually save the ventilator or hook these patients up even when they come out a little later, and we're going to treat it as Boeing Bavazachas coming at the same time, and both of them are lefanecha. We're going to treat it that way, and then we're going to take that, and that's how we're going to act. So let's, if that's the overall, I spent a lot of time going through the whole, the overview. Now let's get into some details, but let's move a little faster. So the first page was talking about certain secular ethics. It was talking about certain sources, that certain values of maximizing benefits, treating people equally, and something called instrumental value, which is, again, we're talking about worth, and we'll see how we took it and versus the secular ethics took it. So maximizing benefits is, say, saving the most individual lives, and we're saying, halach, and what does that mean in the next paragraph? So that means that the sick person who can recover, a person who has like an 80% chance of recovering, is going to give priority over someone who's unlikely to recover, someone who only has a 10-20% of recovery. Halach is going to agree with that. But there was another one of saving most life years, which would mean that, let's say you had a very healthy 70-year-old, right? And his lungs look, he has the virus, he needs to be intubated, but he doesn't have any kidney problems, any other organ failure, and you have the same problem, and you're looking at a young guy who's maybe 25, who's coming to the ER, also got corona, and his, and looking at the x-ray of the 70-year-old and the 25-year-old, they both look You know, x-rays look the same, and their oxygen saturations are the same, and the x-rays look the same. So we're going to say they both, you know, probably can do, if we predict that, they're both probably going to do as well. Secular ethics would say maximizing benefits means saving the most life years and give priority possibly to that 20, 25-year-old. And halacha, we see Rav Moshe says, no, once you're a chai olam, once it means you look the same, you know, once we say that both of you can live, can get through this and then can live, you know, more than a year, you know, then, you know, just because you're younger is not going to give you any priority. And again, it would have to then be done by that Mishnah and Horios who can do more for society or then down to a lottery. The next paragraph is Secular Ethics, again, published from, you know, University of Pennsylvania and then put in the New York Times, something which halacha does not, vehemently does not agree with, but they say removing a patient from a ventilator is justifiable, it's not an act of killing, it is even the ethical thing to do. And that's not, you know, as much as we're going to say maybe in this, you know, this one unique situation where they're both coming together and I have only one ventilator left, I have only one antidote, you know, to a poison and I have to give it to one person, you know, I have no choice. So we're going to say give it to the person who can get Chai Olam versus the person, you know, who's only going to get Chai Shah, then, you know, so that's where we're only saying, you know, Chai Olam beats out Chai Shah. But to do anything active, to say, I have a person who's not doing well, you know, I'm going to pull that ventilator out of the person's mouth and give it to the person who has a, you know, who's just starting corona and, you know, and has a, you know, a good chance of surviving, that we can't do. That's an act of murder. They did something about instrumental value. He says to give, they thought ethically, secular ethics says to, you can give it to healthcare workers. And they're saying not so much because they're more worthy, but because if you're knocking out physicians and nurses, if you're knocking them out, then everyone with COVID-19 is going to suffer greatly in more mortality and more years lost of life. So they did take something about what's beneficial for society, but at least in this article, it wasn't looking at the botanist or whatever halacha thinks is most beneficial for society. They were looking maybe at doctors and healthcare workers as maybe being important for society, but really in a very narrow sense, because they can help the pandemic, what's happening right now. And then they said a lottery would be better than a first come, first serve. So let's go to halacha. So halacha, I'm going to run through, you know, a lot of these sources. We've already maybe, you know, heard about them. So we know in source one, we know that there's a concept of a chai bahem. We know that, you know, there's a concept of pikuach nefesh. We know when it comes to either your life versus any aveira in the Torah, we're going to take preference for your life, and you're going to be over those averas, except three: avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim. So that was source one. But source two says that this concept of v'chai v'hem, this concept of pikuach nefesh, is not only when we have a chai olam around, and not something when we know that we can save the person, but even if there's a suffix involved, suffix chai, suffix mate, where mafak. We're talking about a wall fell on a person, and we don't know if he's alive or death. It's only a suffix. Still, we're violate for suffix pikuach nefesh. We know suffix pikuach nefesh. You're having some chest pain. You don't know if it's indigestion. You don't know if you're having a heart attack. It's only a suffix. You know, whatever. You go to the hospital. You drive up to the hospital on Shabbos. You're going to undo the wall and try to get to this guy, even when it's a suffix. And the end of the and then the source says even. If you found the person and you know the guy's in bad shape and he's only going to live a few more hours, you can still continue to be Mechal Shabbos and continue to remove the stones around him, even for just Chai Shah. So you see the importance of Chai Shah. You can violate any Isser in the Torah except the big three. You saw in Surah 3 is the thing that I mentioned, that Echad Harog et Tabari, O et Achola Hanot Elamut. If you kill someone who's 20 years old, or you kill someone who really is towards the end of their life, Vafilu Harog et Tagosi, you kill someone who really only has a few more hours left to live, Naragalav, that's a capital offense in Halacha, and you get killed for it. And, you know, the thinking is that you know, human life is of infinite worth. And that means any part of that human life is worth infinity too. An infinity of an hour is the same infinity of 70 years. Infinity is infinity. And if you shorten someone's life actively, that is prohibited. We, of course, we're not talking about, we've had other chaburas that talked about end of life care, and it doesn't mean that everything that, you know, that can be done needs to be done at, you know, when you get towards the end of life. But that's, you know, if you actively take an action and then pull out that ventilator, that's an act of murder, even on a chai shah. The and then the reason for is lefisha ein doch nefesh mipnei nefesh. Okay, so let's go to the next page. So now, again, we're trying to find the source of why, when I have the person who's 80% chance survival versus someone who only has a 20% survival, why do I give preference to the person with the 80% chance survival? So one of the sources that people go to say maybe this source will be a proof that the that we're going to go to the person with the 80% chance survival is this Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Samech Bet. We've all heard, many of us heard this Gemara. And after this source, I'm actually going to ask some people if they want to unmute, even though, again, we're pressed for some time, but it is a chabura, so I'll ask some people maybe some feedback of what they think the Nekudat HaMachloket is between this Ben Petura and Rabbi Akiva. And we're going to look at the following source 5. It says, Shnaim Shahayu Mahalchim Baderach. Two people are in walking, and they're in the desert. Uviyad Echem Mehen Kitan Shalmayim. One person has a container of a flask of water, has a canteen of water. Im Shosin Shnehem Mason. If they both drink, then there's a, you know, the likelihood is that they're both going to die. They're 5 days out from the town, and if they both drink, maybe they'll make it for another 2 days. But it's a chance that they're not going to make it. But if one person drinks from it, he probably can last the 5 days, and he's going to make yearly yeshuv. He's going to get to the town. There'll be a water fountain there. Everything's going to be great. So Darsh ben Petur, in a case such as this, Mutiv sheyishtu shneim v'yamutu va'al yir echan mehem b'misaso shel chaveiro. Ben Petur says that it's better to share the water, and probably both are going to die, than just one person keeping it to themselves. Ad shebar Rabbi Akiva v'limeid v'chayachicha amach. That your life takes precedence, and therefore you can drink the water. So the question is, if I saw this machlokas and someone asked me at 3 a.m. to say which one makes more sense to you, so I would say, look, based on some sources we even said before, look, Lisa, like the there's only 3 averos that you have to give up your life for, we're not dealing with a case of Gili Arayas. We're not dealing with a case of Avodah Zarah. It's very hard to say that we're really dealing with a case of Ritzicha. What are we doing? Yes, someone's going to die, but it's not just a Ritzicha. Maybe there's a lav in the Torah that says, Lo Sama, we're going to look at it. Lo Sama Rodan Reacha. You can't stand idly by, passively by, when your friend is drowning in the sea, and you can help him, or he's being mugged, or an animal's attacking him. So, in certain situations, you should go and help him. So, to give up my life, it's not one of the big 3. So why, you have to understand, what's the svara of Ben Petura to say that I would have to give up my life? And then you're going to have to answer this Nekudat HaMachloket, then what is Rabbi Akiva coming in that says Chayecha Kodmin? So now you can unmute, and if someone wants to give a suggestion. Yes.
לפני איזה זמן, כמה חודשים, היה פה שיעור של הרב ויינר, בבית של קליין, ליל שבת.
אוקיי.
Okay. הוא דיבר על שאלה אם מותר להכניס תפילין לבית חולים שיהיה אסור לו להוציא משם.
אקסלנט.
ובסוף, המחלוקת התמקדה בין איגרות משה למישהו אחר, שאני לא בטוח, אני זוכר, מישהו דוד.
I think they're red bars, yeah.
השאלה הייתה, האם אנחנו דואגים לעתיד או לא דואגים לעתיד? האם אדם שיש לו משהו עכשיו, הוא צריך לקבל עליו לעשות, הוא צריך לדאוג מה יקרה עוד חודש, שנה או משהו, או שהוא צריך להתעסק מה שקורה עכשיו?
Beautiful, Didi. So
מה זה בין
Right, because there are other situations that come up. What he's saying is, do you have to take a long-term view of mitzvot, or just a short-term view? They talk about, let's say, someone, you know, was in jail, and the jailer said you can get out for one day. So which day should you get out? Just the next day, I have a chiyuv to daven b'minyan, so I should get out just the next day? Or should I wait for Purim? Should I wait for Yom Kippur? Maybe a better day? Should I take a longer view? Let's say I'm not so healthy, and I can only fast one day over the next 2 weeks. That's what the doctor says. If I do that too fast, it's going to put me into sakana. So I have now, it's the beginning of Tishrei. Should I fast? The first fast coming up is Tzom Gedalia. So should I fast on Tzom Gedalia, or maybe not? Maybe not fast on Tzom Gedalia, because by not doing that, I can save myself for Yom Kippur, which is a much more important fast. So applying it here, Didi, what are you going to say?
אני אומר שבן תורה אומר, בוא נסתכל עכשיו, כרגע יש מים לשניהם, שישתו, הוא לא מתכוון דווקא בטוח שימותו,
right.
אבל עכשיו שישתו ונראה מה יהיה, יכול להיות שיהיה משהו אחר או לא יהיה משהו אחר. אבל אתה יכול להחליט עכשיו את המציאות שאחד ימות על פי העתיד שאחד שני יישאר.
Right. Okay. So he might say, look, right now, we have to explain it a little bit more, but maybe he's saying there is a chiv of lo samad al dam reyach in front of you. We know, so you really should shear. We know the outcome maybe in the future of that might be that you're also going to die. It's not a vadai, you know, and that's source six. It's only, you know, we're not talking, you know, in a case where it's vadai. But so maybe take you have something in front of you, a mitzvah, maybe take the long, you know, that's what Hashem wants you to do now. What's going to happen in 2 days from now, that's up in Hashem's hands. At least now you have a chiyuv, and you do what's in front of you now. Excellent. Yes?
But that's not the Lashon. He says specifically, mutav sheyishu shnehem v'yamutu.
Yeah, but the...
implying that he is going to die. We know he will die if we were both drink.
Yeah, I say, but if you look in the Nitziv in 6, and Rav Asher Weiss says, it can't be that they're going to die right, you know, you're doing it and the vada are going to die. You know, what does that mean? Someone is going over Niagara Falls, you know, so I'm standing on the shore, I have to jump over and also vadai die, you know, to because there's a chiyuv of Hatzala. When it's vadai going to die, and we're going to see later on this page in the sources, you know, 9-10, it'll be usur, you know, possibly, you know, to do something like that. So that's why they change it to it's something that's, look, it's a good chance, you know, it's something that might happen. Again, you're 5 days away, but it's something that's going to happen maybe in 2 days. And maybe you'll come up with an oasis. Maybe you'll have some sort of caravan coming through, and there is a possibility of being saved. But you're right. Looking at it, when he says, Shneim Yamutu, in all good chance, they're probably both going to die. And that's what Ben Patur, you're right, is saying it like that. But how would you, even if you say that, what are you going to say is the Nukudat HaMachloket?
Always understood that he was saying, it's Ritzicha and Yehar Gval Yavor.
It's
like somebody's in the water, if I prevent them from getting out of the water, it's murder. And if there's a cup, and I know that there's only water for one person, by me actively taking a cup, I am saving myself to killing the other person at the same time.
Interesting. So the action...
saving yourself, chayecha kolmim, that's prefer.
Okay.
And Ben Patur says, it's yarg val yavur. Because you're killing another person, and you can't kill another person to save yourself.
Okay,
that's
interesting.
How I understood it always.
So interesting. So, again, what Stevie has said, I don't see pictures, I hear the voice, so that's why I'm saying it this way, that it seemed like... because I wanted to say it doesn't look like Ritzicha. You know, all you're doing is drinking water. It doesn't look like Ritzicha. You know, it just looks like an Isser of Lo Samod. No, you know, as Stevie wanted to say, it really is Ritzicha. Oh, what are you doing? I'm looking... So even though when I looked at it under a very narrow view, I'm not... Ritzicha, I look like... I shoot you in the head. I throw you over a building. All I'm doing is drinking some water. Who would have thought drinking water is an act of Ritzicha? So you want to say, wow, Ben Patur says, no, you got to look at your consequences, and really that is an Isser Ritzicha. I'm going to try to maybe say, you don't have to go on to the Isser Ritzicha. Maybe we're still only dealing with the Isser of Lo Samad Adam Reyecha, and maybe that's all, you know, Ben Batur is saying you have a chiyuv of hatzala for your friend. It's not that we're dealing with an issur tzicha, but each one has a, still has, even though it's not what, you know, normally I would have thought b'chai b'hem would knock out the lav of lo samad adam reyecha, just standing by passively, and you know, but for some reason, and maybe someone can think of it, for some reason, v'chai b'hem is not going to be able to knock off the isser of lo samad adam reyecha. The isser of lo samad ben patur is going to say it still exists, and since it still exists, I have to share the water. So there really won't be just a big three of eros. Really, the this is going to be a svara on one of those three. Or, I'll, you know, the svara, someone's probably, I'm going to unmute and someone's going to throw it in. But that svara that just tells me that I can't kill someone in order to save my life, you know, and the issur tzicha is still around because b'chai b'hem can't knock out the issur tzicha because of this svara. So that same svara you can apply maybe in our scenario, and it's not going to be, the b'chai b'hem is not going to be able to knock out lo samad adam reyecha. That issur is going to stay around, and that's why Ben Patur is going to say, You're gonna have to share the water. Anybody know what I'm referring to? Yes.
אני בעצמי לא מסכים למה שאמרתי. רק הצעתי אופציה. אני חושב שלא התייחסנו לחלק השני של בן בתורה. הוא לא אמר רק מותם שניים ימותו. הוא אמר מותם שניים ימותו, ואל יראה אחד במיטת חברו.
אוקיי.
יכול להיות שמה שאכפת, ואני לא חושב שזה רציחה, אל יראה אחד במיטת חברו, לא אל ירצח אחד את חברו. אני חושב שהוא מתייחס פשוט, להבדיל מרבי עקיבא, הוא מתייחס גם לנפש. זאת אומרת, חשוב לו מאוד שבן אדם לא יצא מהסיטואציה הזאת, והוא כל החיים יהיה עם פשע, החבר שלו מת בגללו.
Right. So again, I find it, Didi, a little bit difficult, because I don't think Ben Patur would say if two people are just sitting, you know, in jail or something, and then the jailer comes and says, I'm going to only kill one of you, right? Then all of a sudden, Ben Patur is going to say, oh, al yireh echad mehem b'mitato shel chavero, and he's going to say, no, kill me too. Don't just kill him, kill me too. I don't think he's going to, I can't see the other person die. I don't think, you know, it's a svara, but I don't think really, I think we're dealing again with this specific situation, again, of walking in the desert with one canteen of water. So let me just go ahead, because you know, we have to cover the sources. And again, I'm going to try to use the source, again, to answer that question of why we can maybe give the vent to the person who has an 80% chance of success versus the one that only has a 20% chance of success. So we saw source 6 was explaining Ulai. We're not saying that Vade going to die, but it's just that there's a chance. Source 7 is actually interesting. The Sifra has a different girsa than our Gemara. Our Gemara mentioned, actually, as we were just discussing, it gives a svara for Ben Patura. It says, Va'al yirechan mehem b'min tato shel chaveiro. The Sifra says, Dorish Ben Patura, Ben Patiri, Yishishtayim v'amutu, Shenemar v'chay achichu amach. So he actually has a drusha. It's not just a svara, it's a drusha. So maybe our original question, you know, according to Ben Patura, says, I agree, maybe there's only the big three. Right? And really, you don't have to give up your life. And that would have been the case, except that the Torah has a pasuk, v'chei achich l'amach, that tells me, no, I have to enter into a case of safek sakana in order to save someone who's in vaday sakana. I would never, normally, I don't have to put myself into a safek pikuach nefesh. Usually, safek pikuach nefesh, I can be over all these averos. It's just this one limud that tells me that I have to do this. This is not gonna, if you took this and then comes along, you know, Rabbi Akiva and says, no, you know, the Pasuk is not saying that. The Pasuk is saying, Chayecha Kodmin, and therefore there really is only just the big three, and you don't have to put yourself into Suffix Sakana in order to save someone from Vade Sakana. So that really is, if you learn that Machalka that way, there's no proof for us when it comes to give the ventilator to the Chai Olam. That would be a type of direction, and we would use these resources for types of cases like, can I volunteer for a kidney transplant? Can I put myself into Safek Sakana in order to save someone who's maybe more of a vadai sakana. But again, that's not our topic tonight, so that we're not going to talk about, and I'm going to skip all these other ones where, again, the Ligris Moshe, and everyone's going to say that, you know, there's no chiyuv to do it, but it is a mitzvah to do that. But now let's go on, because again, we're using that source to try to talk about our ventilator case. So here, what I was trying to get out previously was saying that there was a big three, but one of the big three, when it came to an Isser Ritzicha, when someone says, that when the person says to you, either kill Shimon or I'm going to kill you, so, you know, so Reuven might say, okay, I have V'chai Bahem. V'chai Bahem says, I can do any Aveira in the Torah, it's going to, you know, it's going to be mitgaber on the Isser Ritzicha, and I can go ahead and, you know, and kill the other person. However, the Gemara says, you can't do that. You can't do that. Why? And you look in Source 11, Mi yomer didama didach sumik tfei, dilma dama dihu gavra sumik tfei. There's a svar that says, who says your blood is redder than his? So really, you wanted to, and there's different ways to understand that svara, but we're going to show this is the way in Source 12 and 13, how Rashi and probably Reb Chaim learn this, the mechanism of this svara. So really what they wanted to say is you have usually have v'chai b'hem, and v'chai b'hem could be mitgaber and say you don't, you know, eat this cheeseburger or else you're going to die. So v'chai b'hem, you know, comes along, knocks out the isser of eating the cheeseburger, and therefore you can live and you can eat the cheeseburger. But it can't go, v'chai b'hem wants to knock out the isser v'tzicha. However, this svara, who says your blood is redder than mine, comes right in the middle, prevents v'chai b'hem from knocking isser v'tzicha. You're left with the isser v'tzicha, and since you're left with the isser v'tzicha, you have to give up your life, and you can't go ahead and kill the other person. So that's the way Rashi, again, it's not the only way to understand the mechanism, but that's how Rashi understands the mechanism. So then, in Source 12, Rashi says, my chazis, you have this svara, and, you know, how does it work? Hilkach, ein kan lomar v'chai b'hem. V'chai b'hem can come and start working. Shlo hiter kasev elam yishum chavivis nasham shel Yisrael. V'chai b'hem says, we like, you know, The Torah says that Hashem wants, you know, people to live. I can't, you know, I don't want a person to die. I want people to live. So therefore, you know, when it comes to a cheeseburger, V'chai B'hem is going to come along. I want a person to live, and it's going to be mitgaber over the, it's going to win out over the isser of the cheeseburger. However, with an isser ritzicha, v'kan sheish ibu nefesh chaveiro, here someone's going to die. Someone, you're going to kill someone. Someone's going to die. Lo nitein dvar hamelech. The dvar hamelech of v'chai b'hem can't come in lidchot shesival ritzicha and overturn the isser, overrule the isser of ritzicha. You have the isser of ritzicha and you can't kill him. Reb Chaim says it again in Source 13, the kavan, the shkulen hain, since we said each person's blood is equal, memela eino nidches bivnei pikuach nefesh. So therefore, pikuach nefesh can't come in and push off the isser ritzicha. So the Sridei Eish takes that svara, and this is saying, this is the svara of Ben Petura. Ben Petura says, this svara that says, who says your blood is redder than mine, prevents me from, from knocking out the isser ritzicha because someone's going to die. So the Sridei Eish says that same svara of who says your blood is redder than mine is also going to prevent v'chai b'hem from being to overrule the isser of lo saman adam reyecha, because lo saman adam reyecha means someone's going to die, and therefore this svara prevents v'chai b'hem from working in, and therefore Ben Petura says the person still has in front of him an isser of lo saman adam reyecha. He can't stand there passively, and he's going to have to share the water. And for that svara, which Rabbi Akiva said, might have said, that's a great svara. That's why, in Source 14, according to Sfida H, Rabbi Akiva had to come along and say, that's why the Torah said, you know, v'cheyach ikramach, the chayecha kodmin, to overrule that svara. However, now we're moving on to the other page. However, once we said, and now I wanted, there's two ways to understand, and again, once this is all the limud part, to try to get again to this ventilator question. But once we said, Rabbi Kiva said, he had a drasha, and said, Chayecha Kodmin, What exactly, there's two ways to understand that. What exactly did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said, Chayecha Kodman? And what it might come to a head, and I'll open it up to the mic again, and saying, what happens when in a case, not when two people are walking in the desert and one person has the water. Let's say three people are walking in the desert, and the first two people don't have any water, but the third person has not only enough water for himself, but he has one more canteen for the other people. What should be done when the third person has the canteen? Do we say that third person should only give to one of the two, or do we say that, according to Rabbi Akiva, that third person who has the extra canteen should not just give it to one person, but should share to the other two people? Any thoughts? And this will be how you understood Chayecha Kodman. So I'll answer. So what I was driving at, and say that there's two ways to understand Chayecha Kodman. Why is the person, Rabbi Akiva says, you can drink the water? Is he saying, you can drink the water, you know why? Because by you drinking the water, it's going to give you Chayei Olam. If you shared it, the two of you are only going to get Chayisha. So I'm telling you to drink the water. Why? Because whenever you have a clash between Chayei Olam and Chayisha, Chayecha Kodman telling you Chayei Olam is going to take precedence. And therefore, if that's the case, not only if two people are walking in the desert, does the person who owns the bottle drink the water, but the person who owns the bottle is drinking the water, because really what Rabbi Akiva is saying and the Limud is saying is that Chayei Olam is more important than Chayei Shah. That's why you're drinking the water. And that svara would even apply if a third person owns that water. Since the third person owns the water, you still say, but the whole underlying svara is Chayei Olam is more important than Chayei Shah. So if the third person owns it, don't give it to two. Give it to one person, because Chayei Olam is always better than Chayei Shah. If that's how we learned, then that would be a source. That would be a source for our ventilator question. Because the ventilator, two people are coming. The two people that are coming to the hospital don't own that resource of the ventilator. That's owned by a third person. But if we understood Rabbi Akiva Shita, that if a third person owns the water, or a third person owns the resource, but you learn from Rabbi Akiva's thing of Chayecha Kodman, means you drink the water, not so much because you own the bottle, but you drink the water because it gives you Chayei Olam, if that's really what he's saying, then even in our case, when it comes to the ventilator, this is a source why you give the ventilator to the Chayei Olam patient, not to the Chayei Shah patient. The other way of learning, and this would not be... What?
זה לא מה שחיים אמר. הוא לא אמר חיי עולם וחיי שעה. הוא אמר שייתן לאחד שישאר בחיים ואל ייתן לשניהם וימותו. זה לא חיי עולם של אחד לעומת כמו שעכשיו במקרה של
המחלוקת. Read the next paragraph. The מחלוקתם the בן פטורה ורבי עקיבא הוא אם חיי שווים לחיי עולם, אם חיי שעה שווים לחיי עולם או לא. The whole question is, בן פטורה said, look, we all these halachas that we said chayisha is so important. I can violate Shabbos for chayisha. If you kill the chayisha, that's a capital offense. It's so important, chayisha. Chayisha is just as a small part of infinity is just like all of infinity. Ben Petura says there's no difference between chayisha and chayi olam, and therefore split it. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says no. Chayecha Kodman is telling you chayi olam is more important than chayisha, and therefore that would be a source for our case with the ventilator. However, and that's how the Reb Chaim in source 15, that's also the Chazon Ish in one place in source 16 says it. However, if you understood, I'm just being complete now, if you understood that the whole understanding of Chayecha Kodman really just says that you owned it, and that's why you can drink it. It was an ownership issue. But if someone else owned it, like Chiddush Arim is going to say, if there's an Ishli Shli, there's a third person who has the water, then he's going to say, you're not going to give it to one person, because it's not Chayei Olam versus Chayei Shah. It was just an ownership issue. That's why you were allowed to drink it. If you don't own it, And then it goes back to the original svara that you have to share. And you would have no proof to our ventilator. Okay, that was a lot of sources. Again, just to get to one quick point of why we had, if you understood Rabbi Akiva as saying you can drink it, not so much because you owned it, but because Chai Olam is more, by drinking it, you're going to get Chai Olam, and sharing it's Chai Shah, and Chai Olam, Chai Echakon is telling you Chai Olam is more than Chai Shah, that's why you can drink it. Then we have a source of why give the ventilator to the, you know, to the person with the better prognosis. Okay, that was a lot of time just for one idea. 18 and 19 is going to give you idea 2 and 3 just in one source. Idea 2 says, you know why you can give it to the person with the 80% prognosis? Let me, because it says, when you're involved, let's say the mitzvah of a, they said that really the isser of, there's when you see someone struggling in the water or being attacked by lions or by bandits, do you know why you have to go and help? So the Gemara in Source 18 says there is two. You can't stand idly by. There's a mitzvah of Hatzalah, there's an Isser, it's phrased as an Isser of Lo Saman Adam Re'echa. But there's another Svara in Source 18, if you see, I underline, Vashevoso Lo. There's a mitzvah of Ashava Saveda. And they say, if you have to return someone's lost object, so Kal V'chomer, you have to return his life. And that's why you can't stand idly by. There are two things that are happening here. There's a mitzvah of Ashava Saveda, and then there's the mitzvah of Tzalo, or the Isser of Lo Saman Adam Re'echa. So let me give you the following cases, and this is how it was explained to me. Someone said this to me, Rav David Shabtai, Dr. David Shabtai, in the name when he was in the Kolel Elyon, and Rabbi Bleich was giving chaburas. He said, this is what Rabbi Bleich said. He says, if you see someone getting into a taxi, and his wallet falls out of his pocket, and he gets in, and you run up, and you bend down, you pick up the wallet. Meanwhile, the taxi starts driving away, and, you know, it's a half a block away. You start running after the guy to try to return his wallet. There was a red light there, but then the light turned green, and the guy drove off, and, you know, whatever money, and you can't return it. So you got some schar for picking it up and trying to run and return it to him, but the end result is you didn't return it to him, so you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Ashava Saveda. So he wanted to say that the same thing here. You have someone on, you know, I have two mitzvos in front of me. I have someone I can put on the vent who has a very good chance of succeeding. So not only am I involved in the mitzvah of Hatzalah, or, you know, I'm not being over at Lo Saman Adam Re'echa, but I can, if he survives and I cure him, I even get the mitzvah of Ashava Saveda. So while the other person who has a very poor prognosis, yes, I'm supposed to deal with him and I'm active in him any other time, and I'm getting the mitzvah of Hatzalah, and I'm not being over Lo Saman Adam Re'echa, but I'm not getting the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda if I don't succeed. So if you have two things coming right before you at the same time, Rabbi Bleich says, do the action which can maybe get you two mitzvahs, as opposed to the action which is only going to get you one mitzvah. That was the Svara. 19 says that maybe, is saying that, 19 is saying, you know why you, when there's a clash between Chai Olam and Chai Shah, even though Chai Shah is important, all we said, all these other places, when there's a clash and it's standing right next to Chai Olam, it loses its status, and Chai Shah then sort of falls down. What's the case in Source 19? It's talking about a person, and this will have to come into play. This is the source that talks about, let's say a person has a diagnosis with maybe only 6 months to live. And, you know, but the doctor says to him, you know what, I can do a very aggressive surgery. And, you know, there is a good chance, you know, because the way that the tumor is surrounding the blood vessels, there's going to be a lot of blood loss. There's a good, more than a 50% chance you're going to bleed to death on the table. I'm being honest with you. It's very risky. But if I succeed, right, and you make it off, I think I can, you know, give you Chai Olam. Okay, so now the person has to then decide: do I risk? Meanwhile, he's now on Sunday. He's not projected to die for another 6 months. Can I go into surgery the next day on Monday, right? And risk my, you know, this, you know, the, you know, my Chai Shah of living another 6 months to get Chai Olam, to live, you know, a longer life? And Source 19 says yes. Because he talks about a person who has to then go get treated by, he's very, very sick, he has to get treated by a non-Jew. There's a very good chance that the non-Jew is going to kill him. Maybe he'll treat him and, you know, and cure him, but there's a very good chance that he's going to kill him. So still in that case, Badai mate, if you don't go, if you say you're definitely going to die, then you're able to go to the Mitrapman Mehem, you can go to the non-Jew and risk it. Oh, how can you do that? Ha'ika Chayisha. Aren't you possibly shortening your life by 6 months? How can you risk it? He might kill you tomorrow. L'chayisha elay chayshinan. When the two of them are put up right like this, right next to each other, a person can make that decision to take the risky operation, to risk his chayisha, to extend himself for chayolam. So any one of those reasons, you know, these are three reasons why we would give the ventilator to the person who has a 80% chance of recovery versus 20. So now let me go to source 20. Source 20 is expanding the idea of lefanecha. Because normally we said even someone with a poor prognosis, on any normal day, he comes and we have an ICU bed and a ventilator available, we're going to give it to this person and be involved and try. He has a 20% chance he's going to make it, so let's try. Let's try to, you know, put him on, maybe we'll give him some antibiotics, maybe we'll get some fluid off, maybe, you know, maybe he'll turn the corner and do okay, and of course we're going to do that. So, however, you know, the Tzitz Eliezer was asked a question in Source 20. It happened to be in Johannesburg that they only had Ve'elam Ela Mechona Achat. There was only one respirator available. Now we're getting a little closer to our case. There was only one respirator available. And every day, Midei Yom Bayom, Migim Cholim Shashalatim Chai Olam. People come through the door, right, every day, who can really use this respirator and probably help them over the hump and live their life out. Right? So, but they're not here yet. I only have one person here, the rules of the hospital were only give it for someone who you think can get Chai Olam. If someone who's, doesn't look like he's going to make it, even though he would benefit for a couple of days, but it's not going to give him Chai Olam, don't use up the respirator for this guy because we have other people coming in through the door. So the doctor asked the Tzitz Eliezer, I have a guy who is Chayei Shah in front of me. Normally I have a Chi of Hatzalah. I want to help him. I can make him live for a couple of more days. And, you know, it's important. Can I listen to the hospital and not do that? Just because potentially someone's coming in? And he answered, yes. Mikaven Shah, Dova Tadir, Yom Yom, Nachshav Zeh Kelafaneinu Mamish. So already the Tzitz Eliezer was the first, you know, one of the first. And by answering it says, yes, this din usually, if when we triage and we give kadima to one over the other, it has to be the both are coming, you know, bavas achas, and they're both lefanecha now. And here now we only have the sicker person. We don't have the little healthier person there physically in front of us, but already the Tzitz Eliezer is saying we can view it halachically as they're both in front of you, and as we mentioned for one of the three svaras before on, you're going to give the priority to the person who has a chance at Chaye Olam. So that was his tshuva. Now we're going to source 21. 21 is saying, we're going to talk about the Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe says he agrees with it in principle. In theory, he agrees with it. What we just said, that you can, you know, view things as, you know, lefanecha. And meaning, if he agrees with the psak that if two people were literally in front of you, the pacing with Chai Olam gets preference over the pacing with Chai Isha. It says, V'atam pashut devadai chai haroi litrape. The person who can give Chai Olam to is adifa than those that are sha'om dim lamut mitzad choli shalahem. So he agrees in principle, you give it to the Chai Olam over the Chai Isha. However, the Igros Moshe was very wary in practice. He says to really say that the two are in front of you. And in most cases, you're going to get a call about one patient before the other, or you're going to bump into one patient over the other, and you're going to be mitapel already with one. It's not going to be bevas achas. You're going to have zerach hazeh. You're going to already be involved with somebody. And even if that somebody doesn't have a great prognosis, he's going to say in 22, look, you already have a chiv of Hatzalah with this person. And it comes more that the svara of what's the svara what I'm talking about? Oseik b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. Just, you're already involved with this one chola. You can't just leave it and try to go to another one. You know, even if you might have a better prognosis, you're already involved in this one. Your chiv is to work on this guy, not to go to the next person. He's also very concerned that with psychological damage. If you you know, leave that first guy to go to the second, the first guy says, you're giving up on me, and giving him, when he'll lose up hope, and he'll die faster, which, you know, Rav Moshe was very concerned about. So he really, really wanted to, even though in theory he agrees, you give it to the Chai Olam over the Chai Shah, he says it only happens when it's Lefanecha. Many cases are not Lefanecha, so therefore, do it to the person you bump into the first. That was source 23. Rav Herzog said to Rav Feinstein, I have some penicillin in Israel, who should I give it to? He said, give it to the first patient, you know, the physician sees. Give it to the first person you're gonna, you know, go into. And therefore, in source 24, this was the source, very interesting, very important, because the difference between secular ethics and halacha, according to Rav Moshe. We mentioned in the very first page that a secular ethicist doesn't only take who's going to survive, the person who has 80% versus 20% chance of survival, but he says if they both have 80%, but one guy is 70 years old and one guy is 20 years old, then we said the secular ethicist might give priority to the 20-year-old, because then eventually you're going to have more life years saved. And Rav Moshe says absolutely not. He says the criteria, once you say you're already going to live a year, you're both getting Chaye Olam, and that's the criteria. And then once they're equal, if you both say they both have that 80% chance of survival, and now we're both, and they're both going to live more than a year, then to choose between one or the other, you're going to go to the Mishnah in Horios, which is going to give you who's going to do more for society, and then down to a lottery. So that was an important source. And you see it here. He says, first you go, you go to, again, they're both equal, and then if they're both equal, then you go to Horios, and then... However, this is where he says it, where I'm pointing. Vaf be'elu kasha la'asos ma'aseh below Iyun Gadol. The mission Harios to give priority when they're tied is, he's saying, ma'aseh below Iyun Gadol. It's very kasha la'asos ma'aseh. It's very hard to do that. And therefore, he ends up where I'm pointing to say, you can go to a goral. Okay, now let's go to that mission in Harios. And then we're almost on to that very last source. So we're going to run right through. Because we want to finish by, you know, in a few more minutes. So the Mishnah, I took it from the Yerushalmi, says that once they're both tied, right? So, and because we said normally we gave three svaras, why the person with that, you know, Chai Olam is going to beat out the Chai Shah, either from Rabbi Akiva, Chayecha Kodman, you always treat, you drink the water, because he was telling you Chayecha, Chai Olam is better than Chai Shah. Or we saw the svar of Rabbi Bleich that said, no, you're doing the mitzvah HaShavas Aveda, versus the other one, if you're not successful, you didn't do that mitzvah, so rather do two mitzvahs than one mitzvah. Or we saw that thing where you can take risks on yourself to save, go into that risky operation to give you Chai Olam, so Chai Shah loses its status when next to Chai Olam. So those are all those things. But let's say you both have two Chai Olams, okay? You have two people with the same diagnosis, 80% chance of making it. So who do you give it to? So the Mishnah in Horio says, a Chacham beats out a Melech, who beats out a Kohen Gadol, who beats out a Navi, who beats out a Meshuach Mechama, who beats out a Rosh Mishmor, beats out a Beis Alba, Gizbar, a Kohen, beats out a Levi, who beats out a Yisrael, who beats out a Mamzer, who beats out a Ger, who beats out an Eben Meshuchrar. And then, however, the end of the Mishnah says, yes, we talked about a lot of genealogy sometimes in there, but really the rule is, we already see that a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Kodem L'Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz. So we're going to see that from other sources too, Rav Lichtenstein said this, that really the end of that, you know, that piece is modulating all the other things that came before you, and it's saying that the person's either accomplishments, maybe what he's done in the past, but really more what he predicted to do in the future is really what's going to give him priority. And you see it right along in the Gemara. The next line, it says, a Chacham, why does a Chacham take preference? Because he says, a Chacham Shemait Ein Lana Kayotze Bo. There's no one, you know, who can replace, you know, someone who's a Gadol Ador. And, you know, we need these people. These already have been self-selected out of all of Klal Yisrael. You can count these Chachamim on your fingertips. You know, these are the people that are going to take preference. These are the people who the Kahal needs. And we said it. Why Tosa says it in 26. Why he says that a Kohen who's a Meshuach Mechama, it's the Kohen who goes out to battle, stands next to the to the general, and gives the pep talk and motivates all the people going out to the army. If a wall falls on this guy, this Meshuach Mechama, versus the Skan Kohen Gadol, even though the Skan Kohen Gadol when it came to issues of who should be metame themselves, you know, the other person, Meshul Machama, should be metame before this guy going gadol, because he's more important. When it comes to this thing, who you should save, you're going to save, Tosafos says, the Meshuach Gemara says, save the Meshuach Machama. Why? Because the type of person who can stand in front of the troops and motivate them to win in war, that's a skill set which is very rare, and it's very important, and that skill set is helping the Rabbim. And therefore, he wins out and over the Skan Kohen Gadol because the Talo Bei Rabbim. The Gros said the same thing. He quoted the Gemara that talked about the Sadran beats out the Pilpulan, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That that you had two people. Who's going to be the Rosh Yeshiva? You had someone who had encyclopedic knowledge. Any person like who asks them a question, he's holding in that sugya, and he can give you what the known psak is. Again, but then you had another Talmud Chacham who knows a lot, but his forte is creativity. He can be mechadesh, tremendous insights on the mechanism, and give you this nafkamina in this one area. You know, who should be the Rosh Yeshiva? Who's more important to the klal? They want the Gemara says the Sadran beats out the Papalan. The person who can help the klal more with his encyclopedic knowledge, he's the one that takes priority over the person who's very narrowly creative. Rabbi Walter Wurzberger in 28 said it also when we said normally secular ethicists with their issue of equality doesn't like to play God and would rather just go straight to the lottery. But here he says we cannot abdicate this responsibility, and he views it again, like I said, more on the macro level, just like society wouldn't, when they have to decide who they're going to put on the ark and who they're going to put on the rocket ship. They're not going to just say, okay, take out 2,000 lottery tickets for the whole world, and those people who win it are going to go and start the new civilization. They're going to go with people who can help the civilization. And that's really what I think the Mishnah in Harios was referring to. But it's saying even on the micro level. Rav Lichtenstein here in that source 29 was saying again that last line, that a mamzer talmid chacham takes preference over the am haaretz, who's the Kohen Gadol, said accomplishments of the person, or maybe even future accomplishments, is more important than his genealogy. Okay, so now I'm there, it's 10 o'clock, and I'm down to one last source. And anybody that really wants to, I'm going to go through it, but if a person want to, usually it's an hour, they can sign off, and they can always look at this Shuva, you know, it's on YU Torah, but I'll just go through it just very quickly. But he starts off in the first paragraph, saying, if two people come, right? One is, is more korev to vada that we can save him. One is more only the 20%. It's only a suffake. He says you're gonna give it to the vadai. However, if they don't come at the same time, normally in normal situations, and you already had someone who's hooked up to the ventilator and is in the ICU, so of course that's when aval im. Bizarre Harzad, someone who's, got the ICU bed and ventilator first. And then, of course, even if, someone's waiting in the wings later on, in a normal situation, we're not going to do anything, of course, in all situations, we're not going to do anything that's going to hasten the life of this person that already has this ventilator and to give it to the, even with good intentions, to give it to someone else. However, he says in a pandemic, and he uses that same svara of the Tzitz Eliezer with Johannesburg, that there are people coming through the door, and then we're going to hold off. He told the doctor, you're allowed to hold off that ventilator and wait, to the person who has a better prognosis for it, even though he's not here right now, but he's going to come through the door very shortly, so treat it like it's right in front of you. So Rav Shechter says the same thing, and he says, there's going to be people with a better, prognosis are going to come. So therefore, you also can hold off on the ventilator and wait for that person. So then, excellent. Now he says, what happens if though, you have two people, who should you put on? So in the next thing, he says, you go to that Mishnah in Hariot, and he quotes the Sadran as coded into the Pilpilan, and I did it in bold. You go to the person makdimin lahatzel etzeh shakihilat shicha boyoter. Whoever, if they're tied, that's the tiebreaker. And however, he quotes the Rav Moshe that says, "Shakashel asot maaseh al pi klalei Mishnah b'li iyun gadol." Maybe in an ideal world, you know what we're going to have? You know, in the hospital, in situations like that, you might have a Sanhedrin of 23 who can be done dinei nefashos, and they would judge the value of the person and say who really should get it, who's the next person who we're going to give the ventilator to. But again, we're living in this, you know, in this reality, you know, it's hard to do. And then Rav Moshe then said, you can go to the lottery. Here is where I think the next two ideas is where I think Rav Schechter was really machadesh, and I would love to see, I guess we're going to see, and this I think how halacha works, you know, is over the next few months, who are the people, you know, the gedolim, he published this tshuva, and he put his svara out, which I'm about to discuss. Does, you know, do people like Rav Steinberg and Rav Asher Weiss and Rabbi Bleich, do they agree with this, you know, or do they say no, Rav Schechter, we disagree with your analysis, and we'll see how where this comes. But for now, what Rav Schechter said is just like we can take, even though I have person, someone comes up and only has a 20% survival. So we already said you don't have to hook them up to the vent because people are coming through the door every hour with coronavirus, and I know someone's going to come through with an 80% survival, and I can treat it at the lefanecha and the coming in at the same time. He's already said that. But here's his chiddush. He says here now, let's say I did put someone on the ventilator, right? And now, it's not working out well. I see the person now is not doing well. It's now 2 days in, and he only now has, he didn't get better, and he now only has a 20% survival rate. Okay? And I have someone waiting in the wings that has an 80% survival rate. So we said, you can't pull the ventilator out. I can't do anything that's going to actively shorten the guy's life to give it, even with the best of intentions, to give it to the guy who might have a very good chance of survival. I can't do that. But what he says you can do, and maybe what he says is you should do, which is an amazing thing, is he says, don't initiate new treatments on this person on the ventilator, right? Because that are probably not going to be successful. Normally, I would say, the person only has a 20% survival. In normal times, right, I would say, okay, so let's start dialysis. Get rid of a little fluid from his lungs. Maybe give him more time for the antibiotics to kick in. You know, I know it's more of a Hail Mary pass, and it probably is not going to work, but I would do that. But when Rav Schechter is saying, if you have someone waiting in the wings now versus starting this new treatment, which again is keeping this guy really probably still at 20%, has a 20% success rate, and I have someone waiting in the wings at 80%, that, even though we're 2 days later, that is considered now lefanecha, because that's the decision tree branch, which is lefanecha right now, and he's going to say the person with the 80% chance is going to take preference over the decision to start a new treatment on someone really who just has this 20% chance of living. And that's what he's going to say. To me, I think a tremendous chiddush. And he says, it didn't have, we saw that it wasn't kedai. He says, shemin ha-nachon l'rofim l'kvo al ha-zaken hazeh ha-chlata shel DNR. Meaning, don't start new treatments. Ki l'gabe ha-chlata de-tipul ha-chadash. Because this new treatment that maybe you want to start, this new dialysis, compared to this on this chole hazaken, on this older person, you know, a person who's not doing so well, b'nigud l'tipul b'tzarim, when I have this younger guy, meaning with a better prognosis, waiting in the rings, zekfa nechshav kabal gubas achas, we're 2 days into it, still that's considered gubas achas. Now, the aim b'zeh mishum e'ah, but I'm not starting, aren't I doing, isn't that a problem of ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh? He says, no, it's not a problem because I'm not pulling out the ventilator. I'm not doing anything active to shorten this guy's life. I'm just not starting a new treatment. And ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, ge'ein kan retzicha b'kum vaseh. I'm not doing anything b'kum vaseh to shorten this person's life. So therefore, I'm allowed to not, or even should, not start this new treatment when I really just think this person is really going to not make it, and rather, you know, once natural causes take, you know, the process takes its effect and the person passes away, you're going to have the ventilator available for the healthier, you know, the person with the better prognosis. Again, secular ethics would say you don't have to wait for nature to take its course. You know, take out the ventilator tube yourself, and they think that's the ethical thing, you know, to do. The very last thing, though, is Rav Schechter is saying, he's saying that the last paragraph, the intensivists and the pulmonologists have said now that they're hooking, you know, four patients, maybe up to one ventilator. And that's the matzav. So he says that even though, look, if that's, you have four people in front of you and you can hook four people up at one time, that's the state of medicine, the best treatment that we can give right now. Even though one person might even like give a little virus load or infection to the next person, that's what how we treat everyone and that's how it's done. You know, the Rav Shach says, okay, that's how we do it. But he goes even further. Not only would you do it when all four are right in front of you, but the doctors were concerned, look, I have, let's say, three people, you know, or, you know, hooked up right now, and now I want to add this, like, fourth one, now 2 days later, right? And now the doctors are saying, you know, they explained to Rav Schechter that that this might give the persons on the vent maybe decrease their life expectancy, you know, by 15%. It's a risk, you know, to do this. So isn't that almost like doing something actively? I'm actively putting this fourth person on the vent to, and that's going to cause this a 15% chance of maybe shortening this person's life. How can I do that? So still Rav Schechter expanded and said that's still buying ka'acha, because since originally I knew if four people came at once, that's what I would do, and that's the mode of treatment. And even though I only have three people right now, I can treat, and 2 days later the fourth one comes, I can treat the fourth one as it came, even though he's coming now, I can treat it like it happened at the very first time, and at the very first time I would put them all together, so too now I can put them all together. So that was my shiur. I'm sorry I went 10 minutes over. I hope you people enjoyed. I'll stay on. I don't see anybody. I'll stay on if anybody has any questions. And I hope you enjoyed. And everyone hopefully should stay healthy, should have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and it should be a good year for all of us.
Bini?
Yes.